Exodus chapter 16, brothers and sisters, verses 21 through 36, the end of the chapter this morning. Exodus 16, I can't believe we're there already. 21 to 36. My faith has found a resting place. Did you take in that song? You really got to think about those words. That's one we're probably not as familiar with. But the point is that if Christ is yours and you're His, right, then your faith has rested on Him. Jesus is enough, right? That was the chorus. Jesus is enough. And so, has your faith rested there in what He's done? You don't need to do anything else. And so you're not striving anymore. That's the question. Is that your rest? And then, if it is, how often are you resting in that? We keep looking to that until we get home. We have an opportunity. The question is, do you take it? What's God's Word say for us this morning? And they gathered it by morning, every man as much as he should eat. But when the sun grew hot, it would melt. Now it came about on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning." So they put it aside until morning, as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. And Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." And it came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, He gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel named it manna. And it was like coriander seed and white, and its taste was like wafers with honey. Then Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer full of it be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread that I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar, put an omer full of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept." And the sons of Israel ate the manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate the manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth of an ephah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so needy, and I keep confessing that to you, Father, because you keep revealing that to me. There is just absolutely nothing in us save what you give us. We need you desperately. As your people, Lord, you are our supply, you are our provision. So, Father, as we confess that with our mouth, may you teach us this morning this truth. May you feed us as your sheep. You are such a good God, so patient, so gentle. May you speak to each one of us where we are in our hearts this morning about what we're going after, what we're striving after. Lord, if it's not you, it's in vain. That's true all the time. You are what we need. Help us to truly have faith in that and then to practice resting in that. Lord, until we get to heaven and we can rest forever. The eternal truth of Jesus Christ our Savior and Him alone. As we will praise You and worship You, and all glory will be given to You, and we will enjoy You forever. What a glorious day that will be, Lord. Help us to practice looking to that by the means You give us. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we pick up in our passage, don't we? Just kind of abruptly right in the middle of the story that we were in last week. And we're in the middle of these instructions from the Lord to His people about how to gather their manna, the daily provision that the Lord had given them. It doesn't take very long, does it, to see that today's passage has mainly to do with the idea of the Sabbath. All right? Now, as I thought about this passage, meditated, studied about it, and just the whole topic and idea of the Sabbath, my mind went back in my own short little lifetime. And as I think about my 50 years on the earth, and maybe even a little before that, I think about how much the view of the Sabbath has changed in our own culture. When I was younger, the oddity was for some business to be open on the Sabbath. For the most part, there wasn't anything open. You couldn't go get stuff. Now today it's completely flipped. The oddity is that something's closed on the Sabbath, right? Chick-fil-A stands out. Like, who are they? And same thing with our schedules. And when I was younger, there really wasn't an opportunity to fill your schedule with a lot. There wasn't all these things scheduled. I mean, outside of the church and what it had scheduled, that was your day. But now today, there's an endless opportunity, isn't there, of filling it up with activity. So what's that tell us? Well, it tells me that our culture, and this is even our church, as the culture has greatly affected the church in this, that our whole view of the Sabbath is that it's all relatively obsolete or irrelevant. So I began to ask the question, is this a good thing? Is it good that the Sabbath has become irrelevant to us and we don't see it as important? And my answer to that was no. No, it's not a good thing. Now, I came to that conclusion with a couple of means, really several means, but I'll just give you a couple. One is, as I use my gauge that I'll often use on topics when I think about things like this, and I will use the gauge of the world over the past several years. And as I look at the world over the last 50, 100 years or whatever, is the world that we know becoming more godly or less godly? Well, the world is becoming less godly. I don't think there's anybody here that would deny that. We are becoming a greatly ever-increasing darker world that is running away from God, not to Him. All right, now, as I look at that, I look at the Sabbath and I say, okay, as the world has grown darker and further away from God, how is the view of the Sabbath gone? Well, it's gone from more important to less important. I say, do those two correlate? Yeah. Yeah, they do. The closer a culture was to God, the more they observed the Sabbath, the less they are to closer to God, the less they observe the Sabbath. So there's a correlation. Now, this gauge I use on many things. It's not 100% absolute, but boy, it's pretty accurate. Now, the second reason I came to this conclusion is just this passage and the Word of God, most importantly, and what I believe God is revealing here as to why He gives us the Sabbath. Right? Why is it here? Why does He call for an observance of the Sabbath? And I came to the conclusion there are good reasons to observe the Sabbath, right? For us today in the church, not just the Old Covenant, not just the Old Testament, but it is a good thing to observe the Sabbath. As Matthew Henry said, the Sabbath is the good old way. So why is it? Now, I will give a just a caveat to this as I prepare. I'm not aiming with the sermon to try to bind your conscience in something, right? So the last thing I want is to bind your conscience into something that we see wrongly. And I think you'll get what I'm talking about, right? We can legalistically approach anything, and it's not about getting you to do or behave a certain way. It's about getting you to see the Lord a certain way and then having your heart respond to that. So not into that, right? So as Colossians tells us, I hold to that passage. Let no man be your judge in what you eat, what you drink, new moons, and Sabbaths. But I want you to see that it is good, a good thing, to observe a Sabbath. What are these reasons? Three reasons this morning I'm going to give you. The first reason that it's good to observe the Sabbath is it teaches us to put our faith in our provider, not a provision. It teaches us to put our faith in the provider, not the provision, right? You understand that. Verses 21 to 27 is the context for this. Again, we look at our passage and we see the instructions. That's what we have, is the people are right in the middle of learning how to gather manna. God's provision, daily provision for them. God said, this is how I want you to gather it. And the reason I'm going to give you these instructions, this is a test for you. Remember? And so we see that the first thing they're still learning is they got to go out early and get it. If they don't go out and get their daily provision early, what happens? The sun comes out, it's hot, and it melts it, and it's gone. You know, let's think about, if the Lord is really our provision, what's He teaching us about how to seek after Him in this? Get out early. Seek the Lord, right? As the day gets hot and gets moving, you know it is so much more difficult to find that intimate, alone presence of the Lord. All right, then we move on and we get to verse 22 and following, which really all put them all together. Now, again, what has been happening in this passage? We're in the middle of it. Last week we saw that the Lord's been teaching us. He's been teaching them every week. We'll even see it next week. But the lesson is, you need me. That's what the Lord is saying. The lesson is, my people, hear me. I am what you need, right? Not my provision. Don't trust in the stuff I give you. Trust me. I am your daily bread, right? That's the lesson He's been teaching them over and over. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. You need me. And then, this was the lesson. This was the school class that He taught them. He's been teaching them. And then after every lesson, there's a test. And the test is, will you obey my instructions? Simple obedience. That is always the test. Do we really believe? Do we really trust? So God's given them the instructions. And last week we saw a couple of instructions already. First was, everybody's got to go out and gather, right? You can't sit back and let everybody else do it for you. Everybody goes out, and if you just go out and gather, everybody will have enough. That was the first one. The second one was, as you gather, don't hoard it. Don't try to store it up. Trust me. Enjoy the day's provision I've given you, and trust me for tomorrow's, right? Don't hoard the stuff up. And we saw that there was some mixed review on their grade so far. They got some of it, and some of it they didn't trust the Lord so much in, right? Well, that brings us to now verse 22 and following, because this is really the third major category of, will you trust me? Right? Do you really get it? Do you really get that I'm your provision? And not the what I'm giving you by the hand, right? And what was the test? Well, the test had to do with the Sabbath again, right? On the sixth day, right? Every day you go out and gather this manna that I've given you. Every day you go out and gather the same. But now on the sixth day, I'm going to give you twice as much, right? So that you will have enough for this seventh day, and then you can have something to eat on the seventh day, which will be a holy Sabbath. What's a Sabbath? Sabbath means rest. Sabbath means to cease or desist, right? So think of it like this. A body is either in two states. It's either in motion or it's what? At rest. And so the Sabbath means that you, as a body of motion all week, now come to stop and you rest. So we're going to have a holy rest, the Lord says. And so in order to take care of that, here's my instructions, right? And the idea was that they go out on the sixth day and they'll be twice as much. You gather twice as much. Now, you got to prepare it, right? You got to make preparations. You got to bake it. You got to boil it. Whatever you're going to do to eat it, you go on and do that on the sixth day. And then you eat what you need on the sixth day. That's the point. Go ahead. And then you save what's left over because you got extra, right? Go ahead and save it. And you'll have that on the seventh day. And I will miraculously cause it to remain for you. Because remember, all the other days, it goes away. But on this day, no, it won't. Right? And so this was the instruction, right? And then the last instruction was don't go out on the seventh day. Why? There won't be any. Right? I already told you ahead of time. Nothing out there on the seventh day. Don't go looking for it. There's the instructions, right, of the Sabbath. And you get how the Israelites, if they're going to obey this, they really got to trust the Lord. They really got to have faith in Him and not the provision. Right? One, they've got to have faith in that they're going to need to make preparations on the sixth day. They got to see the seventh day coming. And they just don't let it hit them in the face when they wake up in the morning. Oh, it's the Sabbath. You know, we do that, don't we? No, you see it coming the night before, the evening before, the day before, and you make preparations for it. They got to have faith and trust the Lord in that. They also got to have faith to store it up. Because like this stuff disappears. Lord, but you say keep it. Oh, I got to trust you. You said you'll keep it. I will trust you that I'll have what I need tomorrow because you said it. And then really, the test comes, don't go out on the seventh day because there won't be any. So they really got to trust the Lord that He means what He says, right? That I don't go out on the seventh day because He said there won't be any. Let me stay in. And as we see, this is really where the Israelites tripped up in their faith, wasn't it? Because what does it say? Even though the Lord said it, right? They went out anyway, looking for their provision. And what this tells you is they had a lack of faith. Why? Because what they're trusting in, like we saw last week, with the instruction of storing it up anyway, their trust was their provision. I got to have this provision. What I need is this provision. Therefore, if I'm going to have what I need, I got to go out there and get it on the seventh day just like every other day, right? So you see where their faith has shifted from the provider who says, no, don't, I won't, to the provision itself. Well, it's out there every day. This is what I need. I'm going to go get this provision. This is where the lack of faith was with the Israelites. Again, not trusting that the Lord's what they need, but this provision that He gives is what they need. And so, brothers and sisters, it's the same way with us. If we're going to observe a Sabbath, if the Lord, if you come to the conclusion as I dwell before the Lord, Lord, is the Sabbath something you want for me as your people, as your child? Whether or not we observe it should be determined on our faith in Him and what He has told us, right? And this will be true. It'll be a sign of faith. Just observing the Sabbath was a sign of faith in these people, or the ones that didn't observe it, it was a sign of a lack of faith. So the same's going to be true with us, depending on how or why we observe the Sabbath or don't. First, if we're going to observe the Sabbath, we're also going to have to trust the Lord to provide what we need in 6 days instead of seven. We're going to have to trust that, and in the end, we're going to have to trust He's what we need, not what we're going out and getting on the seventh day. That's what we've got to trust in. And then opposite of that, if we don't observe the Sabbath, because I have to go out and get what I perceive I need, right? If I don't do this, it's going to turn out bad for me. That's a lack of faith. I don't trust the Lord to provide like He said He would for me for the seventh day out of the 6 days. You see what I'm saying? Now, this is true. I mean, we're automatically going to working and, you know, and making a living and making sure we have what we need. And of course, that's kind of the most obvious. But this is true no matter what we're doing, if it's not resting in the Lord, and we'll talk more about what that is later. But if it's we're going after something, right? Then we're not trusting the Lord to be what we need. We're trusting in what we're going after. So this includes, our list, our to-do list. Man, If I don't go out on the Sabbath and get X, Y, and Z done, I'm just not going to have enough time to get done everything I need to get done, right? Because what I need is to get that list done. That's what I need, not the Lord. So I got to trust Him, right, that He's going to give me enough time to do what I truly need to do, because He's my need. If I got Him, I'm okay. Boy, it's a hard one, isn't it? This one gets me. I confess, reveal my heart to you. As I try to observe the Sabbath, oh, man, I've just wrestled with this. But Lord, I got this. It really needs doing, and I got time to do it right now. But I got to go, okay, Lord, You say this is better. Let me teach me how to do this, right? And it's true. It goes all the way into entertainment, brothers and sisters. Is that what we need? Right? Do I go out and fill myself up with worldly activities because that's what I need? You know what I mean. Matthew Henry again, and he's like, if the Lord was angry at His people for going out and just getting bread on the Sabbath, how well pleased would it be for us to go out and fill ourselves up on the worldly activities? You see the difference. So it's a sign of this. Do we have faith that the Lord's what we need? Now I want to address the ox in the ditch and Jesus in this view of the Sabbath. We'll talk more about that later too. I'm not going to exhaust this. And man, we got Exodus chapter 20 coming up and the Ten Commandments, and He will revisit the Sabbath. That's a lot with His people. So this is not exhaustive. But a lot of times, what do I need to do? Well, Jesus said, Jesus never broke the Sabbath. Okay? He was just reteaching His people on what the right view of it is. Jesus obeyed the law to its fullest. Jesus did not practice breaking the Sabbath. Well, what do you mean by the ox is in the ditch, right? If the ox is in the ditch, what He's saying is, if you're in a really bad spot and you just really, got to do this thing, look, this is not about our list and the urgency of a situation. The ox in the ditch is an act of mercy. And what Jesus is saying, it is good. It is good to do acts of mercy and things that reflect the Lord on the Sabbath, because why wouldn't you go get the ox out of the ditch? Well, it's going to die if you don't. So He's saying, if you would go out and save this ox's life, you would. Then it isn't good for Me to heal people on the Sabbath. That's what He's saying. This is an act of mercy that I'm doing. This is not breaking the Sabbath, right? Sabbath's not about laying perfectly still as they tried to legalize it up, right? It's about resting in the Lord. And you do, though, you can do acts of mercy, absolutely, because you do this because of the Lord and who He is, right? So that's not what that means. Just want to make sure you understand that. Now, this faith being a sign, it's a sign of faith as we observe the Sabbath. It's also not just a sign to us, but it's a sign to the world, right? I talked about Chick-fil-A earlier, but man, how much we're supposed to be set apart and distinguished from the world. You know this, right? We're holy and set apart. What better distinguishes us from the world than if we set aside a day in seven? Because what's the world doing 7 days a week? It is striving and going and seeking and never, ever stopping. I mean, if you sit and just watch, it just exhausts you. And if you take a Sabbath break, you will be noticed, right? You will be noticed. But when the world's going to come against you in that, it's going to try to pick you up in this rapid that wants you to go out and do things, right, on this. So what do you mean you're not going to? What is that? That's old. That's a legalist. That's the Old Testament. That's, that's the law. By the way, this is before the law was given. Did you notice that? His people were observing the Sabbath, and we haven't even got to the law being given at Mount Sinai yet. It's outside of that. We can go back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2 if we want. We will in a minute. This will set you apart from the world. No doubt. So the world doesn't get this. Not going to. Because it's got to get what it's got to get. Doesn't know the Lord. Why would you do that? This is also a way in which we reflect the image of God before the world. What do you mean? Let's go back to the creation. What did God do? He worked for how many days? 6 days, right? He worked 6 days. And then what did He do? He rested. And then He set that day apart as holy. So when we work 6 days and then we stop and rest rightly, What are we reflecting? The pattern of God and who He is. Right? So this teaches us, brothers and sisters, how to trust in the Lord. And at that same time, it's a sign to the world and to everyone else of who God is. It reflects who He is. It's a sign of our faith. Because it takes faith to do it rightly. You can do it wrongly. We'll talk about that, right? So if we're going to observe the Sabbath, it's got to be by faith, trusting that the Lord is what we need. And therefore, if He's what we need, then He'll give me whatever it is I think I need. Whatever I've got to wrestle against. Second reason, the Sabbath, recognize the Sabbath is a good idea, is because the Sabbath is a gift from God for our good. Do you realize this? Look at verses 28 to 30. This is God's response to His people failing to trust Him and observe the Sabbath. You see that? He says, how long will you refuse to obey my instructions? Now, this is a rebuke, probably a more of a stinging rebuke than you realize, because this is what God said almost verbatim to Pharaoh back in the plague of the locust. So how long will you refuse to listen to me and let my people go? How long? Which implies that there is something foolish and maybe even wicked in when we refuse to hear God's instructions. And if it were possible, and I say if it's not possible, hear me, it's not possible. But if it were possible, there's a sense of frustration with the Lord, with His people here. Right? The idea is you're not getting it. You're not understanding what I'm doing for you. What's the next verse? See, this, the Sabbath I have given to you. See, what the Lord's trying to teach His people is, this is a gift that I have given to you. It's for your good. It's not against you. How long are you going to refuse to do this? See, I've given you the Sabbath. It's not against us. It's for us. Now, you can understand the Israelites having a hard time getting this right off the bat. Man, what are they used to? They're used to working 7 days a week, sun up to sunset, right? And probably beyond, because Pharaoh sure didn't give them a break. Pharaoh was, give me all you can give me, all you got in you, right? Pharaoh was a very hard, harsh slave master. But God says, I'm not like Pharaoh. I'm a good and gracious master. And as a good and gracious master, I give you the gift of the Sabbath. How long will you refuse to do what I tell you to do? Why does He give us this gift? We need it. Just at its basic level, brothers and sisters, we need a rest. That's the way He's made us, right? We got to have some downtime from our activities of constantly going. I mean, just the idea that we have to sleep tells us this, right? We'd keep going as long as we could if we didn't just collapse and have to sleep. So the Lord's, it should be obvious to you, we need rest. And so apparently, the one who made us, right, made us at optimal performance is when we rest one day in seven. All right? Just for our own well-being, right? This is true. It's for our good. It's for our good. It's hard for us to get this because we automatically view the Sabbath negatively when we think about it in our flesh. We think the Sabbath is not for me. The Sabbath is against me. Why? Well, I got this stuff I got to do. Right? Why would I want to just, and we picture it just sitting around, laying around, doing nothing. Right? And so this goes against our flesh in every way. Why would I want to do that? And so we start looking for ways around it. Like, this is the Old Testament law, and this, you know, again, this is before that. Actually, sent from creation, the way God made us. So we think about it negatively, when that's not the way it is. Then if we come to, I need to do this, when we're still thinking about it negatively, then we're just trying to grind this thing out, right? It's a burden, but by golly, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bear fruit, right, in my flesh and do this thing, even though I don't want to do it because I don't see that it's for my good. Jesus was trying to teach the Pharisees this. They got it backwards too, right? That's why they put all these rules and regulations about, well, I can only walk this far and I can only carry an object this heavy and just ridiculous stuff, right? And Jesus is like, guys, don't, the Sabbath, the man was not made for the Sabbath. What, the Sabbath was what? Made for man. What? Well, what's that mean? It means God made this for you, man. It's a gift. Don't enslave yourself to the day. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They were trying to throw that yoke on Jesus. And he was like, oh, no. You know, you're not getting this right, right? You're not getting this right at all. It's for our good. That's why if you walk away with anything from it, well, I want you, the next, it's pretty important too, but man, just don't think of it negatively. Don't, it's not this, oh, it's keeping me from what I want to do. Why is that? Ask yourself that question. It's for your good. I got to read this. It's an article that appeared in United Airlines years ago. And this woman wrote this. She said, not so long ago, I was just another harried working mom, rushing through the day with one thought always in mind. Why isn't there any time? Y'all ever been there? Now, if someone told you there was a way to stop the onslaught of everyday obligations, improve your social life, keep the house clean, revive your tired marriage, elevate spiritual awareness, and improve productivity at work all overnight and without cost, you'd probably say the claim was absurd. I certainly did. But I was willing to see if some cosmic miracle cure might really work. And after a year of earnest research, I discovered that adherence to a Sabbath yields a precious gift of time. My personal life, my professional life, and my family life have all improved, and I plan to go on celebrating the Sabbath. Now, as far as I know, this woman was not a Christian, okay? She's just somebody made in God's image who has discovered how to enjoy the gift her Creator gave her, right? How much more, as a follower of Christ, could you enjoy the gift that God has given you if you really, truly see the depth of what it means to rest? Right? Because we're not talking about sleeping here. Ain't nothing wrong with a nap, okay, when you need one. But the Sabbath's not for napping all day. It's not. It's about resting in the Lord. Resting in the Lord. What's that mean? Well, let's look at the last reason it's good to trust the Lord and observe a Sabbath. The last reason is it's the perfect opportunity to remember and truly rest. It's a perfect opportunity to remember and truly rest. Now, we'll just look at the rest of the passage, okay? Verses 31 to 36. Because it almost looks like this, I don't know, kind of tag on to the end of the passage about these description of manna. First thing we see is that the manna is described as fine like and white like coriander seed. So it's really fine, okay? That's what it looked like. And then it tells us what it tasted like. What did it taste like? It tasted like honey, like wafers of honey. So think about how good God is. Not only is He going to provide what you need, but He's going to provide something that's pleasant and good for you to enjoy. And then I got to thinking, okay, Lord, if the lesson really is you are our manna, who tastes good? Taste and see that the Lord, He is good. He's what you need, not your food. If you think your food tastes good, to feast on the Lord a while. Okay? How good is our God? More than we can possibly understand. All right, then if we keep going in these instructions, I mean, I've already covered about last week about Canaan, and he provided it for 40, every day for 40 years. You know, you just see the reliability, faithfulness of God until they got into the land of Canaan, right? But then besides that, we see these instructions about what the Lord wanted them to do with it. He wanted them to keep an omer of it, a jar full of this, and to keep. Now, if we look in Hebrews, when we went through Hebrews, if you remember, we saw how the Israelites ultimately did this. They took a golden urn, right? And they put an omer full in, and they put it in the Ark of the Covenant. It's called the testimony here. The covenant, the testimony. And so they kept it. Why did he instruct them to do this? Well, he wanted them to remember for all their generations, right, how he had provided, who he is, and what he had given them. He wanted them to remember. The Lord always wants us to remember who he is and what he's done. That's why he's given us so many opportunities to do this. Keeping the manna. The Passover. You remember when we looked at the Passover for several weeks? What was the main reason God said he kept giving us? So they could remember what the Lord had done, right? Same reason he gives us the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. God wants us to actively, right, with our minds, meditate and remember who he is and what he has done. And it's one of the reasons God has given us the Sabbath. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15 reveals this. Listen to this. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Do you see why he gave the Sabbath day? One of the big reasons is that he wanted them to remember one day every week how the Lord had saved them from Egypt and how he had delivered them with an outstretched arm. He wanted them to actively remember their salvation in him. And brothers and sisters, that's why it's a good thing to observe the Sabbath today, because it's an opportunity one day in seven to remember, actively meditate what the Lord has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's what we do when we rest in the Lord on the Sabbath day. We actively go back and we remember, oh, what has the Lord done for me? Oh, he has provided forgiveness for my sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he went to the cross, he bore the wrath of God for my sins, and in that I have salvation. Therefore, I can rest. I can stop working. I can stop striving, right, to make myself right with God. I can cease and desist and rest in him. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, right, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And what will he do? I'll give you rest. And he says, I'm gentle and I'm humble, and come and learn from me, and I'll give you rest for your soul. He's talking about spiritual rest far and above the physical rest. Do we need physical rest? Yes, we do. Do we need to stop all the running around? Yes, we do. But you need rest for your soul. You need to regularly remember that Christ is the ultimate fulfillment of the Sabbath. Yes, he is. Right? He is the ultimate fulfillment, because in him, the work is done. It is finished. There's no need for any more work. But the Sabbath is the perfect opportunity, one day in seven, to actively remember that and actively rest in the Lord, if we'll take advantage of it. If we'll trust the Lord in that, we even need to do that. Right? Because we're not completely resting until we get to heaven. So we're not only remembering, but we're looking forward to the perfect eternal rest in him. And this is what will cause us to have rest now in the Lord. If we remember, we remember, we remember. But we got to trust. I don't know how many people have told me this, but over the years, when you talk about following the Lord, seeking the Lord, and you know me, if you've heard me preach once, you've heard me preach it a million times, that we need to spend time in prayer and we need to spend time in the Word. you personally and you with your family. I don't know how many times, oh, I really want to do this. I really want to spend more time in prayer. I really want to spend more time in the Word. And I really want to spend more time with my family doing this. But what? I don't have the time. We got the time. The Lord's given us one day in seven to do this, to practice what we need, spend time in His presence, remembering what Christ has done, worshiping Him for this. What a glorious benefit this would be for our souls if we would trust what the Lord has given us. I've given you the Sabbath. Don't you understand? Now, I will warn you. If you say, okay, Lord, you know, I really want to do that. I'm going to have, everything is going to war against you. Satan, yes. The world, yes. Right? The world rushes on. The other song? The world rushes on. Why? Because they're enslaved to their sin and it's saying, go, you got to go. You got to get all you can get. You got to get it now. If you don't get it, you'll never get it. You're going to miss out. You got to go. You got to go. And we get caught up in that. Yeah. It's going to fight you. But even more than that, your own heart's going to fight you. Right? Heart's deceitful. We got to train it how to rest in the Lord. By faith. By faith. We're trusting the Lord in this. I really could relate to Esther Edwards. This is Jonathan Edwards' daughter. When she wrote this in her journal. She says, oh, I long for a Sabbath frame of mind. But instead of that, my thoughts wander to the ends of the earth. And in whatever duty I am engaged, I am as cold and dead as stone. My heart, I see, is on the world and not on God. Brothers and sisters, our heart will wander, right? Even as we try to practice this, our heart's going to start wandering after the world, but we got to trust the Lord. What do I need? Do I need that where my heart's going, or do I really need you, Lord? Remember, this is the lesson He's been teaching us. What do we need? What do we need? Thank you, mouthed it, brother. I don't know. The Lord, right? The Lord. He's what we need, not what we think we need. It's the provision and going after all this stuff. We need Him. So we got to trust that. When everything fights against you, you go, no, Lord, I need you. I need you. We know this salvation-wise. Yeah, we need Jesus. But then when we try to live it out, man, we're going after anything and everything but the Lord. We need the Lord. Let's trust it, right? Let's trust it. He's what we need. I'll end with just reading from Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13 and 14. Isaiah? Yeah. He says, if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight... See how you got to write? See it the right way? The holy day of the Lord honorable and shall honor it, desisting from your ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know you're trying to teach me, as you're trying to teach these Israelites, that what I really need is you. And when my heart's going after all this other stuff, I just need to know that you are my greatest need. And I need to rest in you and trust in you. And one of those ways... Lord, is to take advantage of this gift that you give us, to be able to do that, actively remember, actively worship, actively seek you, actively enjoy you, because you're what we need. You're our manna. Let us trust that. Let's have faith in that. Lord, yes, actively trusting in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for the salvation of our souls. And Lord, trusting, Lord, if you've done that, if you have saved us, if you have forgiven us of our sins in Christ, then what else do we need? What else do we need to go after? We have a more than abundant supply for what we'll ever, ever need forever, for all eternity. So let us rest in that thought, Lord, that you are provision and you've already given us all that we will ever need. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.